we're ready. Got my Bible. Hope you have yours. And we'll get going here on our Philippians study. We have made our way to the second chapter. We had one lesson on chapter 2 last week. I mentioned last time that these first 11 verses of Philippians 2 are as weighty and as vital as any portion of God's Word. We're seeing in these verses that Jesus Christ has set for us the example of self-denial and self-sacrifice for the benefit and the well-being of others. And we started seeing last time that the key to genuine joy and happiness is this self-sacrificial life, this willingness to be to spend and to be spent, not for our own advantage, but or our own honor, our own glory, but for the benefit and the well-being of others. Okay, so for those of you that were not able to be with us last week, I'm sorry, I can't repeat everything that was said, but we will go ahead and read those verses, the same verses, one more time, those first 11 verses, and give you a brief summary, and then we'll move forward. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse number 1, if there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, okay, so all of these things we saw are available in Jesus Christ and should be appropriated in the life of every believer in Jesus Christ. We can have consolation, comfort, fellowship, mercy. All of these things are available to us. And when these things are real in our lives, when these things are working themselves out in our lives, our joy is full. Okay, hope you see that. Verse 2, fulfill ye my joy. Okay, so what's the key to this? Okay, first of all, that ye be like-minded. And as I said before, we don't have the same aptitude or the same personality, the same way of looking at situations, the same way of reacting and responding to things. However, we can all have our minds governed by, controlled by, regulated by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the words of the living God. Okay, that's the key to this thing. How does that happen? The Bible says having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Okay, there it is again. What is this mind? What is this mindset that is necessary for full joy? What is this mindset that is the objective for every Christian? It's simply this, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Okay, and one of those always leads to the other. But in lowliness of mind, let each, okay, that's every single one, esteem other, that's every single one, better than themselves. Okay, if I genuinely lived in the frame of mind that you are better than me, then you could not offend me. If I lived in the mindset that I love you, that is, I'm willing to lay down my life for your joy, happiness, well-being, spiritual advantage, if I genuinely and sincerely loved you, our relationship would be enduring. Our relationship would be blessed. It would just be an ongoing, joyful situation as you and I minister to and bless one another. Then he says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, look not. Okay, and so here's where we're moving into new territory now. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Okay, now that's remarkable. This is remarkable. We have lived to see the day when people are not looking for a church where they can be a blessing, but rather they are demanding a church that is a blessing to them. People don't call a church and say, I'm looking for a place where I can serve. No, they call and they say, we're looking for a place where we can be served. People don't call a church and say, is there a way our young people can be a help and be of service to the people of the church? No, they call and they say, what does your church have for our young people? That's where we are. It is now common that people have to be fed free breakfast or they'll go to another church. We have now lived to see the day when if one thing doesn't go their way, one thing isn't done their way, people will walk out of a church. Why? Because the purpose of their going to church is not to serve the Lord. It's not to serve others. It is not to be a help and be a blessing to somebody else. It's to mooch. That's the bottom line. This has become a society of moochers. This has become a culture of people with their hands out and they're shopping for a church based upon who's going to give me the most attention? Who's going to give me the most stuff? Who's going to give me the greatest number of play toys and play pretties? Who's got the biggest pile of donuts? That's what it's all about. I'm telling you, it is all but impossible to minister and practice biblical Christianity in this generation because people are so incredibly self-absorbed that it's almost absolutely impossible to get them to even think like Christians. Which, of course, if you can't think like Christians, you're certainly not going to live the Christian life. Well, here's the key to full joy. The key to full joy is stop looking on your own things. Well, here's how I feel. Well, here's what I want. Well, here's what I think they should have done. Well, stop looking on your own things and start looking on how can I be a help to him? How can I be of help to her? How can I minister to that man? How can I assist that lady? That's what it's all about. You say, what's your proof, Brother Bob? What's your illustration? What scriptural support do you have for saying such a thing? Well, of course, look, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. What did he do? What did he do? Well, he certainly did not come into this world and demand that everybody treat him the way he felt like being treated. I mean, look at what they did. He was despised. He was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was lied about. His mother was lied about. His words were twisted. His motives were called into question. He was called a devil. He was called a blasphemer. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was nailed to a cross for you, for me. He didn't turn to his father and say, if I go down there to that earth, what's in it for me? If I go down there and become a man, what will I get out of it? No, this Lord Jesus Christ knelt in that Garden of Gethsemane and he said, not my will, but thine be done for your benefit and for mine. Now, I know that's hard to understand if you've been watching much religious TV. I know that's hard to understand if you've been spending much time with the best sellers in the religious bookstore, because, see, you have this idea that Christianity was about perverting some Jabez prayer so that you could trick God into giving you a yacht and lots of money. So, see, I understand. If you've been watching religious TV and reading the best sellers in the religious bookstores, You thought God was sitting in heaven waiting for you to demand him to give you more money. I understand. That is modern Christianity. And, of course, it's not Christianity at all. I understand that. But here's what I want to know. How can you have any joy when you are self-loving, self-serving, self-centered, and trying to force God to become your personal servant or your genie who obeys your every command. You're never going to find any joy that way. All that is a continuation of your self-loving, self-serving life that you lived before you ever put the first ounce of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things. Well, he hurt my feelings. Well, I didn't like the way he preached. Well, church was too long. Well, they didn't have any, they don't have dinners there. Well, down here they pay more attention to me. You know what your problem is? You're not a Christian, if that's the way you think. And I'm not saying, in saying that, I'm not saying you're not saved. There's a difference. See, I didn't say you had not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I said your problem is you're not a Christian. See, Jesus Christ did not look on his own things. He looked on the things of others. Jesus Christ did not put himself first. He put others first. And you cannot be a self-centered, self-serving Christian. That's a contradiction in terms. No such thing. See, now you go to that religious bookstore and you look at these fellows with their perms in their hair and their makeup on and they're grinning at you like a Cheshire cat. And you look at the book titles and the chapter titles and you tell me that it's not all about you. You can have a better day. You can feel better. You can have a more positive mental attitude. You can name it and claim it. You can be, hey, what is all that? It's humanism with a few verses out of the Bible thrown in there to try to make church members believe that it was Christian. Nothing, nothing could be further from the truth. Take a look real quick and look at what 1 Peter chapter 3 says on the subject here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8, starting there. 1 Peter 3, 8, the Bible says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. See where the blessings come from? How do I get that blessing? Not by treating people the way they treated me. Not by getting even with those who have done me evil, not by lashing out, not by walking away, not by taking my ball and going home or taking my Bible and going to the church down the road. You know what I do? I lay down my pitiful emotions and feelings for the benefit and well-being of others. That's what I do. And when I do that, as I do that, my joy sent to me by God the Father through God the Son, delivered by the indwelling Holy Spirit, my joy becomes full because I am now living not as a self-centered, self-loving, self-serving church member, but I am now living as Jesus Christ lived. That's what a Christian is, okay? Like Jesus Christ. And as I live the Christian life, God blesses me with joy. Now, I know this is completely opposite of what is being taught in the average church. And do you know why? Because the average church exists so that we can make enough money to keep existing. And the preacher's job is to tell the congregation what they want to hear so that they will keep coming and keep giving so that he'll have enough money to live on. And so the church will have enough money to survive and pay its indebtedness and pay its bills. And so that preacher, he's not about to preach biblical Christianity from the Holy Bible, because that is not what carnal people want to hear. They don't want to hear about self-denial. They want to hear a rock band singing, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, over and over again until you get sick. That's what they want. Why is that? Because Christianity has all but disappeared from churches today. That's why. I'm telling you, my brother, I'm telling you, my sister, a church is not supposed to exist for you. You are supposed to be living your life so that you can be a help and a blessing to God's church. I know that's a strange and novel concept, but Jesus Christ did not put you into his body so that you could be the center of attention. He put you in his body so that you could make others the center of attention and be blessed and know full joy thereby. That's what it's all about. All right, here's what the Bible says. Are you ready? Jesus Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. How about that? Now, if anybody else in this world claimed to be equal with God, he would be taking to himself a position, a place, a title upon which he had no claim. None of us has any right whatsoever to say, I am equal with God. Jesus Christ did have the right to make that claim, though. He was, he is, he always will be God Almighty. As such, the Bible says he made himself. See that? Himself. He took himself. He made himself of no reputation. He just completely denied all self-interest. Okay, why did he do that? Well, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you know why Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation? So that he could die for you. So you could be eternally advantaged and be daily blessed beyond your wildest dreams. Jesus Christ denied himself for you. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. And therefore, the Christian life is denying yourself for others. That's Christianity. Anything else, it's humanism, paganism, or false religion with Jesus' name attached to it. Now, I'm dwelling on this because, honestly, I could just preach this every single day, day after day, day after day, day after day, because it's absolutely, this message tonight, it's unheard of in the church today. This whole idea of esteeming other better than yourself, this whole idea of laying down your life for others. Do you understand why the average radio program is so vastly different today than it was 50, 60 years ago? Do you know why? Because the audience would not take this kind of preaching today, you know, hour after hour, day after day. So the preachers have had to conform their programming and their messages trying to suit the audience. Do you know why Christian TV bears no resemblance to Christianity? No resemblance to Christianity. You know why? Because if it did, the money would dry up tomorrow. You know that's true. You know it would. And so the broadcasters, they've conformed their TV programs. They've tried to make it look as much like the world's entertainment programs as possible. Now that's just the facts. And I wish it wasn't so, but there it is. Do you know why the average church, with each passing month, takes on more and more the appearance and the personality of a nightclub? Because that's what the people attending demand. To those types of so-called Christians, to those types of church attendees, I have only one thing to say. Repent. We are not changing biblical Christianity to suit the demands and the desires of people who have no interest in biblical Christianity. It's just not going to happen. Now, if that offends you, it's because you love yourself more than you love Jesus. If that offends you, it's because, well, you may be saved, but you don't want to live the Christian life. You just don't want to. Here it is again. Here it is again. Jesus Christ wants you to esteem other better than yourself. Jesus Christ wants you to stop looking out for your own things and look out for the things of others. Jesus Christ wants you to make yourself of no reputation, to humble yourself, and to willingly lay down your life for the betterment and well-being of others. And that, friends, is the pathway to joy, to contentment, to satisfaction, to blessing, to God pouring out His honor upon you. That's what the Bible says. I want to be a biblical Christian. I don't want to be a spoiled baby that demands everything go my way or else. you can't stay married with that kind of an attitude. You can't have any kind of decent friendships with that kind of an attitude. You cannot stay in and be a blessing to any church anywhere with that kind of an attitude. It just can't happen. I want you, my friends, I want you to be blessed. I want God to pour out His full and complete blessing upon you. Please, please, get in this second chapter of Philippians. Allow the Word of God to fill your heart and mind with His holy words, to fill your soul with His Holy Spirit, so that you can know the life more abundant that Jesus Christ has for you. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this instruction, for this little push that we needed, this little reminder that it's not about us, but about others, as showing us what a true Christian is and who our example is, the best example we could ever have, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, you'd help us to not give in to this modern so-called Christianity and these self-promoting things that bookstores are putting out and that religious TV and radio, things you hear there. Help us, Lord, to stick to your Bible. Help us, Lord, to believe what it says and to believe that that's, if we would adhere to what to your instructions, that's where the blessings are going to come, through obedience to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.